Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. And we're here one more time to look into the perfect law of liberty. So it's a blessing to be able to be here to get into the Holy Writ, which is none other than the Word of the Lord. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. Surely the people is grass. Writer goes on to say, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So we're so grateful to be here, to be have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. So thank God that we're here, and I'd like to thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners and friends, also all of our Facebook followers and friends, our Twitter followers and friends, our LinkedIn followers and friends, especially the new connections that we have. Many of us that are on LinkedIn, we're getting new connections every week, sometimes every couple of days, so like to say welcome to all of my new connections on LinkedIn. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be connected. And thank God for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. So we'd like for you to know there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. That is, if you have been born again, the born again experience, just like they were on the day of Pentecost, which is the 50th day of the Passover, which is Jesus was on the earth for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He went back, stepped on a cloud, and was received out of their sight. Sent back the Holy Ghost 10 days later. That is called the Day of Pentecost. So thank God for the 12 that he chose, whom he named apostles. He gave them his word. He prayed the priestly prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer in the 17th chapter of St. John. I pray that they may be one, even as we are one, when he prayed that priestly prayer. So knowing God is one and his name is one. And so God at sundry times who in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Sonship is an office. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He made himself a body. That's why the writer says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And he goes on to say, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So knowing Jehovah is become our salvation. That is the name of Jesus derives from. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So initially that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Those were the Jews. So Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So he exhorted and testified with many words, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So thank God that is exactly what we have to do even today. So all the lying, all the committing adultery that people are doing, fornicating, all the things that people are doing, it's from the pit of hell. They think that they can do whatever they want, and they're going to go on through the pearly gates anyway, but I got news for you, not so. And sometimes, even like what happened to Saul, before he committed suicide, the battle went sore against Saul. So Saul died for his transgressions, which he had committed against the Lord. So he fell on his own sword and killed himself. So what a sad commentator. God chose that man and had something to happen to him. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he was turned, the Bible said, into another man. Saul, the son of Kish, but he did not obey God when he was supposed to kill all the Amalekites, and he didn't do it. He was supposed to utterly destroy them all. He saved what he wanted. That's why Samuel the prophet, the man of God, came to him and said, hath not the Lord great delight as in sacrifice burnt offerings, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And he went on to say, behold, it's better to obey than to sacrifice and the fat of rams and idols and all that stuff. So in other words, what he was saying was, it's in the 15th chapter, I believe, of 1 Samuel. You might as well be bowing down to idols when you are disobedient. So, a lot of people are laughing now. They're laughing at people of God, and they're trying to mock you because you're doing God's will, because they couldn't take you to the edge of the cliff and throw you off. You escaped out of their hands. They wanted to mess you up, be it with the law or whatever, and you escaped. So the devil is mad about it, but God doesn't play. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. This is what Apostle Paul says. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. So God is not playing with nobody. He drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, and he's not playing today with nobody. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So people are laughing and thinking they got people. And you know, they get a few dollars here or a lot of damnable things that people are doing. But they are going to pay. And everybody's got a payday. That's why it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So everybody's going to get paid. Talking about Balaam, the son of Beor, he's going to receive the wages, reward of unrighteousness. It's in 2 Peter. So that's everybody is going to get paid. You might not get the reward you want. You don't do right, you're not going to be laughing. So what if you have a 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 90 years, or 100 years here on earth? What is that compared to eternity? That's why James says, what is your life? It is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and it vanish away. So that's why it behooves us to want to do the will of God, want to be in the will of God, want to do right. So you're going to reap what you sow. And then nobody in their right mind, like I've always used to say in the prison ministry, I did the prison ministry for 20 years. 18 of those 20 years virtually I did women's prison ministry, and I used to tell them. And at times we went into the men's facilities also, and people used to say, hell yes, or hell yeah. And people think that's funny. That's how they talk in the street. But I said, you should be saying no to hell, because nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. And I got news for you. Matthew 25 and 41, he's talking about those wicked servants going to be cast into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not a joke. It was made for them, but people are going to go in there too. And death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, and is not going to be funny. And nobody in their right mind want to be there. So that's why we're preaching and we're teaching the gospel, so that men should repent. Just like John the Baptist, when he came on the scene, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we thank God that we are here, another blessed opportunity to be here. So we are doing battle. We're doing spiritual warfare. You got to know how to fight a devil. And you can't fight the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're not guns and knives and all of that kind of stuff. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and bringing them to obedience. Every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So that's, you got to fight the devil. Apostle Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the devil is a deceiver. The devil is a trick people. And people think they're right. But see, God, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That scripture is in, I believe, the 14th chapter of Proverbs and also in the 16th chapter, the self-same scripture. So you can think you're right if you want to, but God is not playing with nobody. And then God said, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. So what we do, we pray ahead of time. You bind devils. You don't just wait till something is getting ready to happen, but you can bind the devil long weeks ahead of time. You can bind a devil. God is not playing, and God is going to show who serveth him and who serveth him not. That's in the book of Malachi. He is not playing with nobody. Some people think it's a joke. They think you're supposed to feel bad when you, just because you're doing battle and you're going through some garbage that other people put you through and you escaped out of their hands. You're supposed to feel bad about it? Oh, not so. But God makes us through the furnace of affliction. So we are in spiritual warfare, just like I said. So we go on here. He's talking about that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you, that shield of faith, you got out in front of you. Them devil is going to throw them fiery darts. Throw them, devil. Throw them, devil. Because when you're getting fought, that means you're doing what is right. You're in the will of God, and the devil hates you, and he hates God. He opposes God. So he's trying to get back at God when he's persecuting a child of God. This is what Apostle Paul heard on the road to Damascus. He had letters to bind all of them that call on the name of Jesus. And the Lord said to him, "Who art thou?" And he and Apostle Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Or, "Who art thou, Jehovah?" And he said, "I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting." So he said, "It's hard to kick against the pricks." So when he was persecuting the people of God, he was persecuting God, because Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So got to realize, you're trying to persecute God's man, God's woman, a child of God, you are persecuting God himself, and you're in trouble. He is greatly offended by it, and God is angry with the wicked every day. So he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Excuse me. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So in other words, you actually go on the enemy's territory with the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then also the other part of the armor, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So he said, Apostle Paul goes on, "As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So you can pray. Nobody can stop you from praying. You can curse devils and bind devils in your spirit without opening up your mouth. I don't care where you are, you can bind a devil. So I don't care what setting you're in, you still can pray. Yes, you want to move God, you got to pray to him. So you could call him up at sunrise, at sunset, driving your car, sitting in your chair. Wherever you are, you can get a hold of God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So you can't and you don't have to be intimidated by no devil. And the devil uses people. Devil is a real fool. And see, some people, people don't understand those kinds of terms when you make them. So and the devil can't get a child of God unless God lets it happen. So you can ask God to send legions of angels to encamp about you. You don't need but one, but you can take all you can get too. Because he says, "To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." So he goes on to say, "Are they not all ministering spirits?" Talking about the angels, "sent forth to minister for they who shall be heirs of salvation." That's in the first chapter of Hebrews, right near the end. That's why he says we ought to get a more earnest heed to things of which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we got to believe God. And this is why Israel could not enter in, is because of unbelief. So we thank God for you and you and even you. And I want to give the guest call-in number. Should you have a comment or should you desire to call, you have a question, you are welcome. And our guest call-in number here on Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio is 646 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Yes, it's a blessing to be able to be here. Amen. Like somebody said, you above ground, you have options. Somebody said, we say at times, if you have your health, you are rich. So sometimes people try to talk down to people, but it is good to be here. And I just thank God that myself, I am a ordained elder, and I have been for years. I've been in the ministry. I've been saved since 1976. That's 37 years. And I thank God he brought me all the way. He carried my burden every day. Many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. I thank God. And I've worked at General Motors for 30 years. I've been retired for 6 years. What a blessing that is. So sometimes people try to talk about people and talk down to people. I'm not getting a pension from General Motors because they love me. I'm getting a pension from them because I earned it. I worked for it. I put my life on the line traveling here and there. And so I'm blessed to be able to have my health, to be able to work in the vineyard of God. Yes, I'm fighting devils, and you should be. Peter said, don't be thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But he said, but rejoice that you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory may be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. He says, Spirit of glory and God rested upon you when these things happened. He said, on their part, he is evil spoken of, talking about the people who are persecuting you. But on your part, he is glorified. See, Apostle Peter, he didn't leave no stone unturned. He said, but let none of you suffer as a busybody or a murderer, as an evildoer in other men's matters, but glorify God on this behalf. And he goes on to say, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin on us, what shall the end of those be that obey not the gospel? And he said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? So what he's saying is, you're going to have your difficulties. A righteous person, where shall the sinner and ungodly appear? Not in good shape. Not in good standings at all. Because you don't want to, like I've said before, if you listen to me on a regular basis, you don't want to be at the great white throne judgment, because those people are going to be cast into the lake of fire. You're going to be there. They're going to be judged according to their works. Whosoever's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life is going to be cast into the lake, which burneth in fire with fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, where the devil got cast in after them. They're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Cast in, that means you're getting threw in by force. Like, I've never been locked up before. I've done prison ministry. But they handcuff you or whatever. I've never been handcuffed or anything like that. That'd be the devil's delight to try to mess me up like that. But the point being is you're forced. You don't want to do it on your own volition. So people being cast into the lake of fire, they ain't going to be laughing. Ain't going to be saying we're going to have a party and all that then is not a joke. And so, before you know it, life will be over. So, that's why Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So, we got to understand what he was saying, what he was talking about when he made that statement. So, it behooves us to want to do right. You want to have a mind to do what is right, because it's going to pay off. Not only is it paying off in the time to come, but it does pay off even now, because God is not playing. And so that's what we are looking for, to see the glory of God. And this is what he had said at the grave of Lazarus when Martha was saying, I know my brother shall rise at the resurrection of the last day. Jesus had told her, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. And so he told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You got to understand what he was talking about. He's not talking about the physical death, but he is talking about you're not going to be hurt of the second death. So the blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. They're going to be kings and of Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. So that's why you want to be in the first resurrection. So that's why Apostle Paul said, we would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. This we that are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. You know, we that are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. So in other words, we're not going to hinder them. The words of those that are dead in the graves, dead in Christ. So he goes on to say, for the Lord himself. This is 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Think so. He's so high and lifted up. He got to humble himself, behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He's so high. So he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Talking about out of the graves. They're not going to come tear nothing up, but God is coming to redeem our soul from the power of the grave. So the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. So he goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. Enoch is a type of the church. He was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's why the writer goes on to say, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, oh yeah, somebody said, beautiful story of Jesus. I tell it everywhere I go. It went on in the song, but oh, it's not just a story. So it's an event. He actually came, walked on the earth for 33 and a half years. Chose men, gave them the plan. He called them apostles. And incidentally, there are no apostles nowadays. But apostle was an eyewitness chosen by the Lord Jesus himself. And they laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. And they died horrible deaths. John was the only one that lived longer than the other ones, but he was in the isle called Patmos for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. So to see the end, he was the one that wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was the one that wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistle of John, and the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I say to people, he was the only one that didn't die as a horrible death as the rest of the apostles. But they said they boiled him in oil. I have Fox's Book of Martyrs. Question is, do you want to be boiled in oil? I answer that. I don't. I don't want to be boiled in oil. So he was the only one that didn't die as a horrible death as the other apostles. So the good news of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, when he stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight, and he's coming back again. That is not the second coming. That is the appearing. John says, behold what love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. So therefore the world knoweth us not, as they knew him not. says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Talking about Jesus. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So people didn't know who Jesus was. People don't know who the sons of God and the daughters of God are now. Because you got to realize, the Bible was written in masculine gender. Some things were in the feminine gender. But in that day, we're going to be neuter gender. We're going to be as angels. We're going to neither be male nor female. So that strikes a death lick into that foolishness that these people think, whoever they think their God is, that they're going to get 72 versions. No bigger lie ever been told. They're not going to get nothing. You can't even find your brain, let alone anything else. They don't understand that you're going to be neuter gender, neither male nor female in that day. So you want to be saved. You be lost, you have a body that's not going to burn up. Ain't nobody going to be laughing. Jesus says, he talked about hell. He talked about damnation more than he ever did heaven. He said there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and wailing of teeth. People are going to be crying out, Michael, John, Jill, Mary, whoever. Forgive me, forgive me. It's going to be too late. Forgive me. It's too late. You need to get it straight now. That's why Jesus said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? But I tell you, they're going to be the main thing that too many people are going to be in the hell hole, in the lake of fire, and that is because of money. Like they said, the 400 richest people in the world got more money than a couple of countries. I forget which ones they say. People have money. They got trillions of dollars in banks offshore. That's why Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You either hold to the one, cleave to the other. You hate the one, despise the other. And he went on to make it plain, you can't serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. That's why Apostle Paul said, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I would never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. He went on to say, godliness with contentment is great gain. We didn't bring nothing in this world. We're not going to take anything out. Said, with food and raiment, there be therewith content. So he went on to say, the love of money, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And then he had to say something that he didn't really want to say. He said, which while some have coveted after. They coveted after what? Coveted after what? Money. He said, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But he said, thou, man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, after faith, after charity. Out of a good conscience, you know, called on the Lord out of a pure heart. So it's not going to be a joke. Because some people will stoop to any level to get a few dollars. Because they want to hurt somebody and trying to rape them out of their money. Even as us, we're getting raped at the gas pumps with these high prices, these so-called oil speculators. Like, where did they get that foolishness from? Back in the 70s, when the so-called oil embargo first came about and they were running out of gasoline in the mid-70s, because I'm a witness to it. You'd be in the gas station lined up, they run out, they close the gas station down. Until they get some more, until the trucker deliver more. Then they had a song out, there's only so much oil in the ground. That is not the case anymore. They're not running out. You can get all the gasoline you want if you have the money. So they're lying. God did not put all these resources in the world, in the ground, for us to be taken advantage of. Like gas comes up out of the ground, natural gas. I mean, surely it's not going to be free for someone to pipe it in to you. You're depending on where you live. But God did not. That wasn't the will and plan of God for people to get just taken advantage of over natural resources. So lava is all underneath us. That's why the world is not going to be destroyed anymore like it was in the days of Noah by water, but it's going to be destroyed by fire. That's what Peter said. Earth is going to be dissolved, going to melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's in 2 Peter. So it's not going to be a joke. So we thank God that we're able to get into his word. These things are shortly going to come to pass. You look in the mirror, the flowers are withering. That's why the writer says, surely the people is grass. So you got to understand biblical terminology. Like a couple of weeks ago, we were in the Revelation talking about people. Sound of many peoples. He says, the waters that thou hearest are peoples. So we got to understand biblical terminology. Some people think, why would God destroy the earth that he made? Because he can do what he wants. He's God. He don't have to ask permission. He don't take counsel from nobody. That's why we're here with this ministry called Truth Ministry. That's why we've been teaching on the Godhead for months to try to get people to realize it's not three gods. It's not two gods. There's only one, and it's all wrapped up in the body of Christ. Isaiah wrote about the Lord more than anybody. He's our Savior. He don't know of any. There's none with him, none beside him, none after him, none before him. Jeremiah said, the Lord is the true God. So there's only one. He was known by God Almighty back there in Moses' day, but by his name Jehovah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not know him by the name Jehovah. But they knew him by God Almighty, Exodus 6 and 3. But he said, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. You leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible, because his name is Jesus. And people don't understand that. Ain't three, it ain't two, it's one. It's got to be revealed. That's why the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It takes the Holy Ghost to understand spiritual things. That's why you got to be born again. If you're not born again, you can't see it. You can't perceive it. You can't understand it. Having been born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. And that's why he says that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them to utter. That's why people were there from under every nation under heaven. They say, how hear we in our own language wherein we were born? We do hear them speak the wonderful works of God. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit give utterance. Now, just as in church on this past Sunday, pastor was saying about these deaf mutes, they were preaching unto them sign language to the deaf mutes. Every one of the deaf mutes, they can't talk. You know a deaf mute can't talk. God filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with other tongues when he filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they went back to being deaf mutes. What a wonder God is. What a wonder God is. So today, we want to talk about kind of almost like a continuation of last week when we talked about David in the 27th Psalm. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should camp against me, this will I be confident." He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. For the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, when I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." He goes on to say, "Thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." And he goes on to say, "I had fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And he said, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart." This is David the king saying. He says, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." I believe I quoted that. I wasn't looking at it. That is the 27th Psalm of David. So here today, I just want to kind of bring a little thought here out of 1 John. The time we got left, just here in the 12th chapter of St. John, at the 11th chapter, we know that Jesus called Lazarus from the dead. And so here in the 12th chapter, we know people had came to see to a feast or a dinner that was going on because they wanted to see Lazarus. He was there, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And so we go on here, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead had a bare record. This is in 12th chapter of St. John, 17th verse. The 18th verse, "For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevailed nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." Talking about Jesus. "There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And what he was talking about there was his own life. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." He's talking about his own death. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." When he came, he brought his voice with him. People therefore that stood by and heard it and said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That was talking about the death of the cross. "Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. You can find that in the Old Testament. You can find that in the book of Galatians. So they hung him on that tree, and they nailed him to that tree and put that, picked it up and dropped it into the ground. They had to lift it up. So that's what he said. If I be lifted up, will draw men unto me. So this said, he said, signifying what death he should die. So the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? This is the question. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now imagine that. All those miracles they saw him do, and they still didn't believe. Some didn't. That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's Isaiah 53. Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, nor be converted, and I should heal them. Remember I was saying you can't see the kingdom of God? You can't understand it if you're not born again. These things spake Elias while he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words, have one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That particular scripture right there, St. John 12:48, like my pastor, my father in the gospel used to say, where's the judge? You holding the judge on your lap. The word of God is the judge. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words, plural, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word is the judge. Many times people say, you're judging. The word is the judge. When you're judging a court of law, you judge on words. When people, incidentally, it's like the Bible. He said, therefore by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And people perjure themselves in court. You cross-examine a person, people perjure themselves because they're lying, because many times they got a motive behind their lie. You got them, and they'll just tell the one little lie. I mean, how stupid some people can make themselves look instead of admitting the truth. But the truth is going to stand. So it doesn't matter. The truth, no lies of the truth, but the truth abideth forever. And the truth never changes. So what I say, I tell the truth. I tell it now throughout eternity. It won't change. The truth won't change. So that's a good part about the truth. You don't have to. People are a liar. A lie, they'll get caught in a lie. Matter of fact, they'll forget which lie they told. So he says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So we got to realize who he was. Just like one time he prayed, he said, I know that you hear me, but for the people that stood by is why he said it. That prayer that he prayed before he raised Lazarus from the grave. He didn't have to get permission. He is God. He is the Son of Man. He's the one that executed judgment. All judgment is given unto him because he is the Son of Man. So nobody can get glory but God himself. And if Jesus wasn't God, he should have been struck down dead. But he was God incarnate, God in the flesh. Because God says, I'm the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. So we have to look at all, every word and every term that he uses. That is he. That's why he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So we got to understand, talking about the spiritual death. I was at a false church. One of my sister-in-laws some years ago died. And that this so-called people didn't know what they were talking about. So he pointed down at the body in the casket and said, he quoted that scripture about Jesus was saying that if you believe on him, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. And he pointed down at my sister-in-law and said these words, this is of the devil. Now, what an idiot. How stupid is that? Nobody ever got out of here alive. You ever seen a person live and get old and get old, and pretty soon, where's Sister So-and-so? Where's Brother So-and-so? Oh, he passed. He just passed. He passed a couple of months ago. He passed last year. You don't get out of here alive. It's once appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. So you can't be that stupid, but some people are. So they don't understand. And that's the so-called spiritual Israel church, which ain't Israel at all. They're crazy is what they are. They're out of their mind every time they stand. I just rose to say so-and-so-and-so. I mean, they're crazy because you're not going to get out of here alive. And so they're doing every kind of damnable thing that you could think of anyway because they're not doing what God told them to do. So anyway, on the day, our lesson derives from 1 John, the first chapter. And so like I said, I try to give you all the food and meat that I can, even previewing up to the lesson. Have a good appetite, a good appetizer before I get to the lesson because we only have so much time. That is, we have an hour in the first place. So what we want to do in the little time that we have left, so 1 John, the first chapter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes, with our eyes, this is Apostle John writing, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled the word of life. He's talking about Jesus. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The selfsame one. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Remember last week we talked about the Lord is my light and salvation? So he says, we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He goes on to say, if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's those that have sin. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we know all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this is so important, what he is saying here. So they're talking about Jesus, how they saw him, how they were eyewitnesses, how they've handled the word of life. So he goes on, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Talking about not for the born-again believers only, but for the sins of the whole world. So you got to understand, this is not talking to everybody. This is talking to believers. This is the children's bread, the word of the Lord. A sinner has to read the book of the Acts of the Apostles and do what it says do. The Pauline epistles and these letters were written to people that were already saved. So he goes on to say, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and his truth is not in him. The truth is not in him. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So we go on here because you know our time is getting away. And a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. But I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I've written unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. Ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him, in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So this is what everyone should be striving to do, the will of God. And we know that Jesus is the one. So we know our time has gotten away, but thank God we will talk to you on next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.